Okay, Crane Christian Church, we've taken care of a little business this morning, and not the least of is Charlotte Hauser's 94th birthday. Give her a hand. Come on. And 94 is the new 49. So just remember that. All right. God has been good to you. He has. So let's go to Romans 6. And we will continue on this walk in grace. Now, this is interesting the way this is phrased, okay? Paul is, of course, writing a letter. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? And the New King James says, certainly not. Another version says, God forbid. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized unto Jesus, to Christ Jesus, were baptized unto his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, here's the deal. This is where, if you're not careful, and there's these words that are used in the Bible, and it's called rightly dividing the word, okay? And here's how this gets spooky, okay? So this is the way this could work. I don't have a problem with this, but you do, so I'm a little better than you. That was Colossians last week, if you remember, that following that, getting all, it builds pride, it builds confusion, it builds that, okay? So we all start, as we look at this sin issue, we start here. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Have you? Okay, if you have a problem saying that, you need to work on that. Because I will never forget going to the first recovery meetings across the street. Actually, back in those days, they were in the parsonage. And I would go over there and I would, you know, because these people were dealing with life controlling problems. And as I was praying, as I was thinking, because it started out with my name is so-and-so and, you know, I've struggled with this or I do this. It's just like this instant honesty. And I'm going to tell you, if you've never been in one of those meetings, it's spooky and wonderful at the same time. Okay. No. How about a little honesty in this world? And you know what? I then came up with this thing that I would say. My name is Bruce. And I'm a sinner because, you know, I don't do the sins that I used to do, but guess what? I love the way Jesus did it. I mean, he wouldn't let those guys off the hook. If you were even thinking about that, if you're even, you know, I mean, what's in your heart? And yeah, maybe we've matured to the point we're not doing what we used to. And I thank God I'm not the man I used to be. Okay. But I thank God that he loves me where I'm at and what I am now, okay? In my pride, in my, you know, whatever, in my, okay. We'll just talk about y'all's sin. I don't want to talk about mine. So here's the deal. Now, if we die with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died for sin once and all, but the life that he gives, he lives unto God. Likewise, you reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, that word right there, I want you to see that. It doesn't say with him. It says in him. I'm going right back to another scripture. Think about the life of the vine. And when I studied that years ago, guys, I was thinking about tomatoes and grapes, you know, stuff that I see in South Arkansas and stuff that I see here. It's a different setup. See, in the vineyard, in the Middle East, even in California, in the vineyard, the vine that they're talking about is the base tap root. And the thing is like as big as the bottom of a tree, it's underground and it's got a long root that goes all the way down to the water table. It draws in, it's where every grape, every whatever you're growing, tomato, okay, whatever, every bit of it comes off of that vine. If you go out there and you've got a line that goes all the way across the road here of grapes and you cut it off from the vine, one by one, they will die because they are not getting the nutrition. They're not getting the water. They're not getting what they need. Does that make sense? They cannot exist by themselves. And this, in the context of this scripture, you cannot exist without being connected to that vine. And you may be, listen, I was in remote Turkey for a year. And every morning I was woken up, or when I was getting off midnight shifts, I was actually still at work. And they would begin the day with prayer. They would play a call to prayer over this big loudspeaker. And there were people bowing down all over the country. You could do that. You could have your prayer three times a day. You could do this. You could do that. You could do all of these external things. But if you're not connected to the vine, you are not alive. And that's what this place is a sign that points to the vine to connect to. And yes, we are one little part of that, but we're no better than the other part. We're no better than the other part. We're just connected to him. Does that make sense? And individually, we're connected to him. But what's this? Do not present your members as instruments. Okay, go back. Don't let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present yourself members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead and your members instruments of the righteousness of God. For sin shall no longer have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. And again, that word is in Christ Jesus. Don't let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lust. Okay, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law. Now get that, guys. The law was something physical. I'll give you an example. It's Sunday. I know Saturday, Sunday, whatever gets mixed up, you know, with the seventh, the first day, the last day, but it's the Sabbath. We can agree on that word, okay? And you could not even open the gates of the city. You could not bring one thing, one burden inside the city on that because it was a violation of the law. It was a physical thing. Do you see that? And that was the law. And that's what it was. And it had grown from honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy to before long we had 164 different ways to do that. And guess what? That's what religion does. It begins to control. It begins to direct. And that's not what we're talking about when we said don't let sin reign over you. What we're talking about is staying connected to him and being obedient to what he's called you to do and walking in that. And, you know, big sins have big consequences. Little sins sometimes have little consequences. Does that make sense? Okay? So, what then shall we sin because we're not under the law but grace? Certainly not. There it is, repeating the first part. Do you not know to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey? You are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin and death, obedience to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, you obeyed from the heart that is from doctrine that you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you become slaves of righteousness. And again, we talk a lot about being free. We talk a lot about being covenant sons and daughters of the Most High God. But I want to tell you, you have a tendency to attach yourself. Just think about this. As you look back through history, all the way back to our earliest, the far as you can go, as far as you can find, okay, they were taking some little something and making an idol and worshiping that. Is that right? The reason is because in you, you have a desire, an inherited spiritual desire to worship, okay? And just like, okay, I wouldn't say that. Just like you have a desire to be part of a tribe, that's in you, okay? You may go get it here, you may get it there, you may get it here, but the truth is you need a family. You're inside, you need a family. So this is what, as you look at this, it can become very, once again, it can jump into legalism, okay? And I want to use an example. So very early, I've been here 20-something years, okay? So earlier in my walk with Christ, think about it. I was raised on sitting right there, not in this church, but one about this size, okay? And my parents were in leadership, you know, and living in a parsonage, you get an interesting view of the body of Christ. Because the parsonage knows about stuff that other people don't know about, okay? And I'm sneaky. And I do a lot of things about a lot of things that I probably did not have the physical and spiritual maturity to know about. And trying to balance that sheet with this person saying this, but this person doing this, and this person, and them being so holy about this, but being messed up over here. Are you following me? Okay. And see, guess what? I've read the Bible. The people that, men and women that God used, guess what? They were not perfect. They were not perfect. And what's interesting is the things that we give a place for the enemy to get a hold on us, if we're not careful, will affect the other side of what's going on. Does that make sense? Like, how many ministries in the last 30, I'm trying to think, I've been in Missouri 30 something years, in the last 30 plus years have come up, well, this happened, and they were hiding this, and this happened, and this, and whether it's about money or infidelity or whatever. I'm not throwing any rocks. I'm just telling you. And we look at that and we say, you know what? Somewhere along the way, someone allowed sin to get in. Does that make sense? And we have to say no to sin. I say no every day, okay? And I'm not trying to be, oh, look at me. No. I mean, we all struggle, don't we? And we all struggle in different ways. But the bottom line is that I no longer have to present the perfect appearance. Because guess what? Jesus paid it all. He paid it all. And pointing people to him is what I'm supposed to do. And it's what I've been called to do. And it's hard to point people to a perfect. I mean, if I'm pointing them to me, guess what? They're going to have a rocky road, okay? But eventually they will find him. But I want to point people to him. So I don't want jump down to 22 because I don't want this to go forever. I did put a mint in this morning, and when it's gone, I'll know it's time to quit. But last week I had a button, and it was a little confusing after the second hour. But anyway, so, but you were, even when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What truth did you have then in the things which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life. Now, this is an interesting verse, 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay. 2 Samuel, and you go, oh, no, Bruce. No, no. It's going to be okay. 2 Samuel 11 and 1. And I have a warning this morning for all of us. It's not just for you. It's not just for me. And this is not the first time the Lord has brought me to this place, this scripture. This is an irritating scripture. This could be ripped right from the headlines of today. It's irritating, okay? Now, it came to pass in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go out to battle, and David sent Joab and his servants with him and all of Israel, they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David remained at Jerusalem. Now, I want you to hear what I'm saying. David was called, selected, preordained, predestined from the foundation of the earth to be a part of the bloodline of Jesus Christ. What do you think about that? That's a big deal. Okay. And he has done some amazing things. He's took a rock and killed, or knocked Goliath down and cut his head off. I don't know anybody's ever lived through a decapitation. But anyway, but the point being is this, guys, all joking aside, David was a, as we call him, he was an operator, okay? He was an operator. He had it going on, okay? But guess what? He was called to be in the battlefield. And so are you. He was called to set himself apart for what God had him to do. So are you. But he got his eyes off of that. And he got comfortable. Comfortable is dangerous. Are you listening? Comfortable is dangerous. I want to tell you, when I'm being attacked, and I'm talking about the spirit, I'm not talking about physically, or physically also, same thing. I want to tell you something. That's when I do my best. You talk about, I'm praying. I'm not like, ooh, should I pray? No, no. Have I got time to pray? Oh, I got time to pray. Do I need to read the Bible? I need to know what God's saying right now when I'm going through that, when I'm going through that. And when we start resting and leisuring, and I don't mean we don't need breaks, I don't need not vacations, but I want to tell you something. If we begin to live there, what happens is that one evening, verse 2, David arose from his bed and walked to the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. And he sent and inquired about the woman, and someone said, is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Now note, I want you to know that Uriah was a faithful soldier of David's. This matters, okay? This matters. He was called to lead. He was called in the anointing to have power. He was called to fight. He was, and David was all these things. And here's the deal. Years ago, I read this book, and we wonder why there's so much confusion in the body of Christ. Fishermen who are not fishing fight. Okay? I actually lived that. We went to, this is years ago, we went and went fishing with some folks. We had a camper. We got there. It started raining. We couldn't fish. Fish weren't biting. The coon ate all the minnows. I mean, it got worse and worse. The whole story gets worse and worse. And then every time we touched the trailer, it shocked you. It wasn't grounded well, so we were getting electrocuted without bait and no in the rain. Okay, so you get the picture. And we began slightly get irritated at one another because it just wasn't good. We come there to fish, and I want to tell you something. He's told us to go in the world and preach the gospel to every living creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Okay, unto all tribes, unto all nations, unto every, he's called us to do that. And we, when that no longer becomes our purpose, and our purpose is to shine us up so that we look pretty for Instagram or whatever, when what happens is, what happens? We begin to fuss and fight amongst ourselves because you don't believe like I do, and you don't believe like I do. You think the church might could learn something from this? And I don't mean our church because we're perfect. I'm talking about them other ones, okay? And here's the deal. What did he do? He called and inquired about the deal, and David sent messengers and took her, and she came and lay together. They cleansed from impurity and returned her house, and then she got pregnant. Merry Christmas, okay? When you plant a seed, things grow, okay? And there is a scripture, and I did not write down the reference, but it says, be sure your sin will find you out. And I want you to think about the names of these people that this story's about. I want to start with David. I love the name David. It means beloved. It means Hebrew, David means beloved. Was David chosen, selected, preordained, predestined, loved by God? Was he all those things?
Yes.
You know he was. Okay. So Uriah means my light is God. He was faithful. He was following. He was doing. He was fighting. He was doing what he was supposed to be doing. Okay. And Bathsheba means the daughter of a promise, the daughter of an oath. And here's the deal. I'm not going to blame Bathsheba. This is not going to be a long thing here. I'm just going to tell you that in that whole situation, there's a lot of things going on. And how many of you know that the Church of Jesus Christ has not always been perfect? Have we made a decision? And here's, some of you guys are not going to understand this, but usually when I go to speak at a recovery meeting, especially where there's a large group, the first thing I will do is ask them to forgive me. Because we have put them in a category and pushed them aside in the church for hundreds of years of people just not quite good enough. Do you see what I'm saying? And I want to tell you, and that has opened door after door after door, and you know. So, but the bottom line is this. He got his eyes off what he was supposed to be doing. Then he, of course, made the mistake that he made, and then went and had the man killed. Okay, which is even compounding on, you know, how many of you know if you tell one lie before long, you have to tell another one, and before long, you have to tell another one to cover the first two up, and then I forget about the first one, and then I get it mixed up, and then I get caught. Okay, so it's easier for me just to tell the truth, okay, or keep my mouth shut, which is, you know, all right, hard for some of us. So anyway, but in the middle of all that, David failed God, didn't he?
Yes.
Okay. In the middle of that, there was a big mess, and everybody knew David had done that. And the wages of sin is death. What happened is that child died. Okay. And in the middle of death, in the middle of mistakes, in the middle of all that, guess who showed up? God. And what he did is he took that mess and made a miracle. Through Bathsheba, Solomon was born. And here's the deal. Solomon means beloved of God. And you might be looking at me this morning on film or here or wherever, and here's a, you might be saying, Bruce, my life is a mess. My life is a mess. And I've made this choice, I've made this choice, and I want to tell you, on the authority of God's word, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have all made mistakes. We've all made choices, and some stuff happens that we didn't bring on ourselves. I mean, all those things are happening at the same time, but I know that as I was studying this, that today, that some people need to hear this point, that Abraham, the guy who lied about his wife, okay, Ruth, who was a Moabitess, okay, and was of a cursed people, okay, David making mistake after mistake, Solomon, his son, not going too far from the playbook and having a woman problem, okay, and royalty and just problem after problem after problem. But here's the deal. All things are working together. So let's turn this ship, wherever you're at, wherever you find yourself, let's turn this ship, not saying, I'm going to be better, I'm going to be better, I'm going to be better. That doesn't hurt anything, but especially if you're eating two things of Oreos a day. But here's the deal. As you pull that ship, make sure the ship is going toward him. Does that make sense? Because God honors that, and you get connected to him, and what will begin to grow on you, with you, is fruit of rightness. And I want to tell you, as I look at these men and women in the Bible, as I look at what God does, and I've told you this several times in the past, I will find myself on my face before the Lord. And I can't tell you how many times I've said this out loud. God, you just don't have much to work with me. You don't have much. And every time, the Holy Spirit says the same thing. I never have. Second generation brothers was killing themselves, killing each other. Is that right? Is that what the Bible says? Cain and Abel? Second generation. I mean, it was fresh. And here's the deal. God is great in love and mercy, and his mercy is reaching out to you today. He is reaching out to you today in his love. So, Father, thank you so much for these folks. And, Lord, we know that we are saved by your sacrifice. And, Lord, we accept that today, Lord, that you paid it all. You have paid the price by your blood for us, God. And, Lord, now help us to be sons and daughters of the Most High God and pursue your will for us, Lord, and that we would not be slaves of sin, that we would begin to lay down as we plug in, Lord, to you, Lord, as we stay connected to you, God, that begins what happens is that fruit of love for one another, that fruit, Lord, of self-control, that fruit, Lord, begins to come. And help us today, Lord, be the men and women you've called us to be. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. God bless you and keep you. Let his light shine on you and give you peace.